So welcome back to the Grappling Discourse podcast. This is your third interview and got Brandon McCathern, the commissioner of the PGF League. Just wanted to talk to you. We are over a third of the way done. So 4 weeks are done in the PGF, and I just want to get your initial like thoughts on how you think the season's gone so far.
I feel really good about it. I didn't know how I would feel about it after 4 weeks. I don't know. I just feel like the whole thing's a crazy idea in the first place. So that it's, I don't know, that we even got to week two feels kind of, I don't know who's ever done 2 weeks. I don't know. And now we've got four. And so, yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Everything's going well. I think the idea has played out well, and I think the response has been really good. I'm really happy with the response, especially for the, I mean, we've done really no marketing on it. We're just releasing videos. That's it. There's no email list. There's no ads. Now we're just putting up some YouTube videos.
And so guys that have impressed you so far, so we're four weeks in again, and most guys have had right around 10 matches. So you've gotten to really see a lot of guys. I mean, some guys are already over halfway done with their regular season. I know there's multiple guys that have had 11 or 12 matches. I think Matt Anderson's already had 12 matches.
Mike Johnson's had 12.
Yeah, so, you know, who's impressed you so far that you've seen? Again, some of these guys have more than half the matches.
Okay, so I got two people that have really, I don't want to use the word surprise because I knew that they were going to be good, but they've even exceeded what I expected from them, and they've become like stars of the thing. Danilo. He's been the most impressive. Like, of course, I knew he was very good. He's been out here and competed in a couple of different things we've done, and I've seen him around. And so, obviously, I already knew he was good. He's a brown belt out of Memphis, BJJ. So I have a lot of respect for all their guys. They're all really good. So I knew that he was going to come down and do well. I didn't know he was going to come down and start, like, waxing fools. So I've been really, really happy to see him. And he's just got such a great attitude, too, man. Which I think that may be the number one thing I'm looking for, to be honest with you, as I think about like what's going to happen next season and stuff. Like, I need guys that are pumped, that love to compete, and just think it's a fun idea and something cool to be a part of. So he's one. Jeremy Geiger. Like, he's exceeded my expectations that I had for him as well. Yeah, I think Jeremy looks great. It's like his wrestling looks awesome. I think he's got his move that he's going for. Nobody else is really messing with him. So he's got four knee bar submissions so far. Or is it five?
He's got at least four. Or five, yeah.
It's at least four. Definitely. He hit three in one night.
Yeah, definitely got four. And so thinking about
that's out of the East. Let me look at the Western Conference before I finish that.
Okay.
See who really stands. Obviously, Matt Anderson. Moises has really surprised me. Not surprised, but he's been really good, you know. Mm-hmm. He's been really good. He's 11 games in. I knew Scarecrow was going to do about what he's been doing. You knew just looking at him. He's a brown belt with legs like that. He's going to be triangling people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Dallas has had Blake Randall. Yeah, Blake Randall's definitely the biggest surprise of the thing. Like, he's the smallest guy. He's 16, and he's got six submissions out of nine games.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And, you know, the two blue belts, obviously, him and Seth, you know, they had their big matchup right before the break, right before our first bye week this week for everybody. And so that was a big match. Like, two blue belts that are ranked in the top 10 that are honestly making a push to finish in the top five.
And it was a fun match, too. Mm-hmm. It was I don't want to say lived up to the hype because we didn't do much hype on it, but those of us that are watching it every week, like, we knew that was going to be a really good matchup, and it was, man. He's really tough, man. He finds his way out somehow. He always finds his way out.
And so seeing that Matt Anderson is at the top of his division coming into the bye week, you know, we're 4 weeks in, coming into the bye week, huge statement, right?
Yeah, I didn't think that there was any way that something like that would happen. You know, I've thought, he could make the tournament. And maybe it's a product of the schedule so far, too. Like, some people have had really, really hard schedules. Matt's schedule hasn't been crazy hard so far, I don't think. I don't know. I'm going to look at his, I don't don't know if I can see back to his games. Who all has he played so far? How many of the black belts has he played so far?
I don't think he's had any matches with black belts yet. But I know he's had multiple matches with brown belts.
He had Danilo already?
Yes. He had Danilo. He had Jonathan Roberts already.
Yep.
Who else is he?
Do you have Elkins yet?
He has not had Elkins.
So Elkins is still in the... Oh, he had Eric Longar?
Yes, he did have Eric Longar. So there's three brown belts. And I think the
Scarecrow?
Rest
Scarecrow? Did he go with Scarecrow
he
yet?
He has not been with Scarecrow.
Well, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
Do they match up? I'll have to look and see. Okay, go ahead.
But then on the other side, you know, but that side, you know, Matt Anderson has had 12 matches. There's multiple guys that, you know, are right next to him point-wise. I mean, I know there's multiple guys that are within 5 points of him. And so looking...
Yeah, the top four in that Western Conference are Matt Anderson, Caleb McAllister, Moises Carrasco, and Matt Harrison. And they're all within 3 points of each other.
So you would have to say, looking at that side, that Caleb has to be the favorite to be the number one seed.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's definitely the case, that he'll be the favorite. Hosier's got 28. He missed last week, but I don't expect that he's going to – I mean, he's not, like, out of the league or anything. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't here last week. Mm-hmm. So I expect that he'll be right up there, too, before it's all said and done. So, yeah. Caleb's only got 9 games played so far, and Anderson's got 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a factor. So Caleb McAllister has not lost a game yet. Mm-hmm. He's got 2 ties, but he's undefeated. He's got 7 subs.
Awesome.
I was a little surprised to see how fast he came in on his first match after the joint lock, after the heel hook. Was that Josh that he did that?
Yeah.
So first match he came out and, pow, dude, super impressive. You're out the gate, but you could have had 7 almost certainly. You know. So it's been fun to watch that, to think about how that strategy plays out and to watch how the guys adjust to it.
Especially with a guy like Caleb that, you know, hasn't really – I think the only guy he's actually trained with or rolled with has been Elijah in competition.
Yeah.
So he's coming with, like, he doesn't know who any of these dudes are.
That's
he doesn't
a good
know
point.
Anything about them. So in his mind, it's like he might not even know Josh's belt rank. He might not know his game. And so he might just be thinking, I'm getting this dude.
I'm going to get this in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a lot easier. Like, I was thinking that for myself because I was like, man, I rolled with most of these guys, and I've seen all of these guys roll tons of times, most of them. And so it is easier for me to see Caleb versus Josh. And
no, that's
go,
a good
well,
point.
Why didn't he, you know, go for the choke? You know, he's got a huge skill advantage against Josh. No offense to Josh, but hey.
No, it's just that's the difference in a good
really
black,
good
belt,
black
and
belt
and a good blue belt. That's,
yes.
Josh is a good blue belt.
But when you don't know, it's like, man, you know, and some of these guys have lost points, you know.
Not just, lost, but just left on the table is the right thing to say, maybe. So yeah, I feel like Caleb left 4 points on the table right there for sure. So I don't know, but I don't. Yeah, I expect him to win that division. To answer your question, I think he'll be on the top in the West, and I think Elijah will be on the top in the East.
Yeah, and so looking at that, the East division, you know, it's a two-way race. You know, Seth did a really admirable job of keeping with the top dogs, but especially after the past 2 weeks, Seth left, you know, in my opinion, left some points on the table.
No doubt. Showed the difference between being a superb blue belt and being a superb brown belt.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And so the other two, Nilo and Elijah, have left everybody in the dust.
Yeah, and they're going to be neck and neck now. They're going to be neck and neck. But Elijah's got a head-to-head win over him already.
Yes.
So he choked Danilo.
And he arm-locked him.
Oh, you're right. He did.
He got him in the triangle and then had
and
to switch it to
off
the arm
because he couldn't get the – or he chose to switch off the arm. That might have been 4 left on the table right there.
Could have been.
That was week 1, right?
Yes.
It's really before – so they matched up right off the bat before anybody knew kind of what we were looking at with those two.
Yeah. And so it's cool that both divisions are so different. Again, that you've got the top two top dogs. Like, hey, that's going to be the storyline all season is who's going to finish on top right there. You know, every point from both of those guys are really going to matter. And then the other side, there's still 4, 5, 6 guys that can finish first, you know.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen on the other side, really. This side's going to work out Elijah, Nilo, Elkins, Seth, most likely, for your top 4.
Okay.
And then I think we'll probably see Geiger slide in after that. He'll probably be the 5th. Or Mario, maybe. Mario's doing pretty good. But Mario's got 23 points in 11 games. Geiger's got 21 points, only 8 games though.
Mm.
So he's got Geiger's only got 8 games. He's got as few as anybody in the league, and he's got 21 points. All, I think, pretty much all joint. No, he's had to have one.
Yeah, one choke.
One choke, yeah. So, all knee bars. So four knee bars and one choke.
And so thinking about the best matches of the season so far, like what matches stick out to you? Or if somebody hasn't seen all the matches or maybe is hasn't checked out the PGF, like what are the one or two matches you would send them? Like, hey, these are the, like, check this match out. You want to see the PGF?
My favorite
about?
Match so far of the season was week one, actually.
Mm.
Was Dallas versus Scarecrow.
Okay.
That was my favorite match of the season. It's not even close. Not even close. Because that had all the things that you want out of a game. It had tension through the match. It wasn't boring. It was a lot of movement, a lot of stuff going on. A young upstart blue belt versus a guy, a brown belt that should have put him away. He should have put him away in that match. And then Dallas just dug deep, and then upset at the end. It was like a Cinderella kind of game. It just so happened it happened in week one. But that's been by far my favorite match of the season so far.
Yeah, that's a great choice. I mean, like you said, it kind of has everything that the PGF offers. You know, there's a sub, there's a blue belt upsetting a brown belt. There's two guys both going for the sub. You know, Scarecrow, man, looked good at the beginning of the match. Dallas dug deep and just used his athleticism. I mean, that was one.
Just refused to lose, and wanted to win. Like, bad spot. I'm not giving up. I'm not going out like this. And when he came out on top, he's just like, I gotta go. And he went, and he took his back, and he choked him, dude. It was awesome.
So how important has physicality and athleticism been so far in the league? Like, we're really seeing that it's playing a huge part, right?
Yeah, it's definitely playing a big part. And it's showing where a guy like Matt Anderson or Dallas is, you know, not the same kind of physicality that Anderson has, but still like an athletic specimen. Right, how that can help close the gap on skill tremendously. And Danilo, he's showing what having great cardio can do for you. Just being able to go. Dallas, too, go. Blake, go. So that athletic, those athletic attributes help close the gap, which we already know that. Like in competition, of course, we know that.
Yeah.
What I'm interested to see is when the top eight out of each bracket come out and we go to a weekend sub-only, no time limit tourney, how does it translate there? Because we're going to see the same guys. Like, I think at this point we're almost certainly going to see Anderson in that format, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the top eight on that side, I think. Even if he doesn't score that much more, he's probably going to hit the top eight. So will that translate into that format? I don't know. I like that we've got it set up that way too, though. So it's sub only over here, but we can have draws. But it's sub only over here, and it's sub only. And there's no way to hide behind the rules on either side. Like, if you hide behind the rules on this way, you'll get exposed in the tournament. If you're just counting on the tournament, you probably get exposed during the season. So you're going to have to be well-rounded and offensively and defensively to be a guy who wins both.
And so thinking about probably the guy that's been the toughest to tap this whole season has been Mike Ritchie. Guys have really, really struggled to put him away, and he's had some draws.
Talking about guys who've been the toughest to tap when they get in bad spots?
I mean, just like, hey.
Because like Elijah's the toughest to tap.
Yes. I just mean like especially as a white belt. Like you just think of a guy that's a white belt that is making, I mean, his match with Elijah, like Elijah had to abandon his game plan and go to the legs, you know, and he didn't want to do that, you know. And he took Matt Elkins to a draw. Like, that really surprised me. He took another brown belt to a draw. I can't remember who it was, but, I mean, he's taken a lot of guys to draws.
Yeah, Danilo got him with that triangle, right?
Yeah.
That was one of the highlights. That may be the best highlight of the season so far, as far as, like, the move or sequence that was the sickest.
Your Instagram clip.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's an Instagram clip there for sure. That was gnarly.
But it's definitely interesting, again, to see just how many different people. And so thinking about how you constructed the league, because you had 32 athletes come in. We've had two dropouts. And now thinking about the guys that have dropped out, does it surprise you that it's black belts that have dropped out compared to white belts? Or, you know, do you think each season will be different?
Yeah, I don't know that I had any expectation about who it might or might not be that would stick with it. So, yeah, I don't know if I've been surprised by it. I don't know. I don't think I really knew what was going to happen.
And so thinking about constructing, so next season.
Yeah.
You know, do you have guys in mind that you want? So like when you're
out of the league this season?
Well, no, I just mean like if you're building the roster for next season, obviously with the success, and you know, there's a lot more guys now, even more people are interested in doing the PGF next season.
Yeah,
so you're going to be getting a lot of people, you know, trying to get in. Do you have kind of now like the profile, the type of guy that you're looking for that 32 man, or are there a couple of different types of guys you're looking for?
Yes, I have a certain attitude and commitment level that I'm looking for. And I want a little bit of everything beyond that. Like, I think I'm going to put white belts in every year. I think I'm going to grab maybe one white belt every year and put, no matter how popular it gets, even if it's all black belts, I'm not going to have all black belts in it. I want to have all belt ranks represented, all different games and sizes. But the most important thing to me is I want zero drama. I want people who want to work with me because the idea is fun. That's the most important thing, because I really don't think we need superstars to make this idea fun.
No, I couldn't agree more. And so when you're thinking about, you know, talking to a guy that might be interested, I mean, and they see some of the guys that are in it, obviously Matt Anderson being in first place right now should give every white and blue belt hope, or like should make them excited to try and enter something like this. Because even if Matt Anderson doesn't win any more games the rest of the season, in my opinion, he's already won.
Oh yeah, dude. He's made a statement, not just for himself, but like about what do the belts really mean. He's put us, and a couple, that's happened with a couple of blue belts beating brown belts as well. What do belts really mean? Hey man, maybe we're putting a little too much stock in belts, which we've been saying that for quite a while now. Like maybe we in the community, we care about belts just a little too much, or we think a little too highly of ourselves when we get this belt versus this one. I think that Matt Anderson has made the case for the everyman jiu-jitsu. White belts are people too.
Yeah, man.
No, I'm just kidding about that. They're not. Don't misquote me. I was just, maybe he's saying that.
And so it's funny, you know, because you're thinking about next season. I mean, having that role, that feeling, that role that Matt Anderson's playing if he decides not to come back, because he's talked about, you know.
I think he'll do it again.
I think he will too, especially with the success he's had so far.
Yeah, and I think he's just had a great time. I think it's just been an interesting, fun thing for him to do. I think he's going to be pumped to come back.
Yeah, and especially if he does get back up to 220. I mean, not having to cut weight every week and having to really, I mean, that's a really scary guy, you know. Yeah.
But is he scary, though, when everybody else is 220?
Yeah.
Is he the same kind of scary when it's a 220 brown belt? Maybe not, you know. And maybe we get some big, strong dude who's a purple belt up in here, too, or whatever. I don't know. We'll see.
Do you think you would ever have a down payment, like even more so? So obviously these guys pay $200, but it's going to be paid out. So all the money, so 32 guys, $200 or $6,400 combined, it's all going to be paid out at the end of the season.
Yeah.
From regular season plus the tournament.
Yeah.
But do you think you'd ever add like maybe an extra $100 on top of that that you get back for completing the season? You know,
well, that's a good idea. That's an interesting idea.
You know, just kind of like, you know, just like you would pay for a room, like especially if it's really nice.
Yeah,
like,
and then I'd give you your money back at the end.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, actually, like a down payment, a deposit.
Deposit, there we go. That's the word I was looking for.
That's a pretty good idea. I haven't thought of that at all.
Yeah.
But what I plan on doing, though, I don't want anybody to pay to be in the league. Like, this is just how we're having to do the pot right now. Like, ultimately, I want to pull enough sponsors and enough revenue off of YouTube, et cetera, sales, whatever. Ticket sales maybe eventually, if we can ever get out of this thing, out of this pandemic thing. So, yeah, maybe ticket sales, et cetera. Build enough revenue that, like, you're on a contract with me and you're getting paid every week. Like, even if it's just $50 to show up. But 50 per person, that's going to add up fast. But I want to do that. That's what I want to ultimately do, and then pay them at the end of the year. Like, have the sponsors pay the big payouts and stuff. But I've thought about doing, like, an application fee. So instead of everybody that's in has to pay $200, everybody that wants to apply has to pay $40 or something.
Mm.
And then, you know, maybe we get 300 applicants, and we pick the 24 or the 32 or whatever the number is that we want. So I think that's the way I'm going to do season two. That could be a bad idea. That could be a bad idea. But I don't know. The bigger the pot, the bigger the larger the number of applicants that way, the larger the pot.
And so what is that number? Like, what is the ideal number, I guess, to have, you know, to pay out, you know? And obviously, you know.
You're talking about to pay the same that we're paying right now?
Yeah, you know, if you paid for the top eight. So currently, you know, the regular season standings, the first, second, and third place guys. So first place gets 1,000. I think second place gets 800. Third place gets 400. And then, you know, the
so if we did like a $39 application fee, I would need about 160-something applicants to give the same payout.
Okay.
So not that much. It's not. No. It's not that many people, you know. But I don't know if season two is the right time to do that. We may need more.
Yeah.
More momentum.
More steam.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a phenomenal idea, and so.
But yeah, I want it to be a professional grappling league. Like, no, no, man, you're gonna get paid every week when you come here. Like, I'm counting on you. Come on in. Get your pay. Come do your three matches. Let me give you a little cash. Thanks for coming. Player of the week. Let's go to Chili's. Let Daddy take care of y'all. Thank you for doing this. Instead of, we just had to do it that way this year. Like, pay to be in it. But I don't want that ultimately.
Okay. Very cool. And so, thinking about the matches coming up.
All right.
You know, you've obviously so many high-level guys still have matches, you know, to go against each other. Does it make you excited, you know, to see the black versus black, or are you more excited to see the blue versus black, the potential of the upset?
I like the upset potential much, much better. It's more fun to watch, too. It's a little extra thing to pull for. There's a big underdog in the match. As somebody watching what's going on, I much prefer that. There's a higher chance of a sub.
Yeah.
I much prefer that.
I do too, and I'm finding that, you know, I used to find myself more as a snob, a guy that, oh, I'm only going to watch the top guys in the world. Let me see Metamorris, and I'm really finding this format is so much more interesting, and it's a lot more fun to watch.
I think it is, and if it's filmed better. Like, mm-hmm. Keelan does such a good job, and then all the matches are going up. It's all free, too, by the way. So you don't have to, it's not hiding behind a paywall to see the best guys in the world or whatever. It's like, no, you have access to see what guys from all different levels are working on and making work. And, you know, is it the highest level of competition? Well, no. But only ADCC is. Only mm-hmm. IBJJF Worlds is, you know. So, yeah, I think it's fun to watch. I think it's super fun to watch.
It is. And so thinking about the work Keelan's done, has that been obviously a huge part of the league's success? Has been just the way Keelan films?
Yeah, well, so I knew that there was a 0% chance of me being able to pull off this idea. So Keelan's actually my 50-50 partner on the league. Like, so he's a co-owner, like right beside me. He just filmed. He's behind the camera, and I'm on the other side. So, more than crucial. Like, can't be done without Keelan. I don't think it could be done without Keelan, specifically.
Yes.
You know.
Not the way that it has been done so far.
No, I don't. I think if somebody else has this idea, and they're like, "I'm gonna take Brandon's idea and I'm gonna run it," and they don't have Keelan, they won't pull the idea off.
Interesting. Why is that? You just think like, why?
He's a perfect mix of time and opportunity, and he's got that drive for excellence. So his product, he wants it to be correct from his perspective, because it's just the way you do things. It's just the way a man of excellence handles his business, you know? And so he's constantly striving to improve himself, improve. And so he's trying to improve his craft as he goes. That, first of all, that's ultra rare in any discipline. And so for him, also, he's a really good grappler. He's a high-level purple belt. So he knows what he's looking at as the cameraman. Also, he's involved in the vision making of the thing, rather than just a gun for hire. So he's invested in the process as well. And just the right opportunity and time in his life to where he can, we just happen to be in the right place at the right time in our lives when we can commit to throwing all our weekly energy behind this.
What's been the one thing you wish you could have changed? Like, has there been anything over the first 4 weeks that you've been disappointed with? Or, like, is there one thing that you wish you could go back and change? Or has it pretty much just been smooth sailing so far?
It's been pretty smooth sailing. It's been pretty smooth sailing. I was really displeased with the audio issues on this last one, but I literally heard nothing else about it after. I was, like, me and Keelan were upset about it. I don't think anybody else cared once it got turned on. But I didn't like that we had audio issues. I may do 6 points for a choke next, for a kill next season instead of 7. So just 2 heel hooks equals a kill instead of 3 exceeds a kill, you know. So I may do 6 points instead of 7. I may add in a sub of the night bonus points at some point. Like, all right, tonight twisters are worth 5 instead of 3 or something like that. I don't know. I haven't thought about that too much. Mistakes. No, I feel pretty good about it. They're coming. There's definitely been, like, administrative things that I should have handled this better. I should have had a tighter system, but they've all been on my end, like, behind the scenes, sort of. So, yeah, no, as far as, like, what we're presenting, I've been pretty happy, especially for the budget that we're working on.
Yeah, no.
Which definitely. Is 0, by the way. The budget is $0.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so, again, kind of going back to thinking about next season and kind of the cast you want to get to, you know, do you think you'll cap, again, that brown and black belt limit, you know? Like, are you happy with the amount of brown and black belts you have this time? Or would you even think about possibly doing less brown and black belts in the next?
I don't think I'm going to put any expectation on that at all. I think I'm just going to, probably for the season 2, we'll the combine and we'll have a draft probably where we select the 32 players out of the applications or whatever. So, and I don't know. I think I'll end up picking people like they do on The Ultimate Fighter. Like, I want this guy because he's going to be good for the show. And he's into it, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't have any expectation on how many will be what belt or what level even.
Do you like the randomized computer-generated schedule?
Yeah, that's the only way to do it.
As well as the standings, you know? Or do you think you would ever have 2 guys maybe take control and they pick the 16 fighters to put in their side of the bracket and then do a randomized schedule?
I don't think I understand the question. Ask it again.
So, obviously, both the schedule and the bracket with the Western Eastern Conference were randomized this
year.
But do you think you ever have a little committee, like 2 or 3 guys that...
Oh, that builds that the schedule?
Yes.
Nah, I like the rando. I like the rando. And honestly, I like that it worked out that Caleb and Elijah don't play each other during the regular season. They're both like the clear front runner favorites on each side of their division. We're not going to see them until the finals, theoretically. You know, they'll probably both end up being the number one on their side. Mm-hmm. And so in the tournament final, if they follow, if the favorites win, then they won't see each other until the very final. And we should have a very interesting final in that regard of 2 high-level guys.
And so is there anything you want to see before we wrap this up from the fans of the PGF? You know, and obviously the guys listening to the Grappling Discourse podcast, is there anything that you would want to know, like anything that people can do to help you or just keep tuning in? Like, is there?
Yeah, just keep watching. Play the Fantasy League. That's, I think, a huge part of what's making it so much fun, is that there's a lot of people that are... The Fantasy League causes you to be invested in it in a different way, you know? So, and right now the Fantasy League is free. As soon as I figure out how to monetize it, we're going to have to pay to do the Fantasy League, which is going to be great. And that's how I'm going to end up being able to pay these players is off of some idea like that.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And so would you make it more of a weekly? Like you have to put $5 in each week and then the house takes, $2 of that from each?
Yeah, something like that. I have no idea how I'm going to end up doing it. But that's ultimately a thing that I want to do with the fantasy for sure.
And so,
oh, dude, I want to get it on FanDuel or DraftKings. That's what I really want the most.
Yeah, and so then you would have people that don't even do grappling. You think that's the way to get people like, hey, my dad who loves fantasy sports, that's how he gets involved with grappling.
Yeah, and I think that's how we get people who like grappling involved in grappling competition as fans. Because most people who grapple do not watch. Most people who do jiu-jitsu do not like to watch jiu-jitsu tournaments. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget Eddie Bravo telling me that him and Jean... So Eddie was a purple belt. This is the story, at least. Eddie was a purple belt, and he went to the Worlds with Jean-Jacques. And they were watching the black belt Worlds in the Gi. And Eddie said he looked over, and Jean-Jacques was asleep. And he goes, Jean-Jacques, what are you doing? He said, oh, my God, he's so boring. And he said, man, if Jean-Jacques can't even watch black belt level jiu-jitsu, how is a white belt ever going to stomach this as a spectator sport? And the answer is they're not going to. Not that way. So I don't know that my objective is necessarily to make it a spectator sport, but I do want the ones that are spectators to enjoy it. Come on in, Matt.
Yeah.
Matt Elkins, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not Matt Elkins.
Oh, that wasn't. There you go. Oh, I thought that was Matt Elkins. I heard the voice.
I'm sweaty already.
All right.
How y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I guess we'll just wrap this up.
With the bolio wrap. That's what we call that move there.
Yeah, but, no, dude, thanks for coming on. Looking forward to the next 8 weeks, and we'll have you on again. Hopefully, we'll just do this every kind of third of the way through. So 66% of the way through, we'll get you back on and we'll talk about what's developed.
Yeah, man. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Oh, dude,
you're killing it. You're like the perfect dude to be doing the, the commentary. Sorry. So appreciate what you're doing.
I appreciate it, man. All you guys out there, make sure you tune in next Friday because we're off this Friday. Tune in next Friday, 6 p.m. live, free on YouTube for honestly the most exciting matches going down in the world right now. Love you guys. Peace.